I want to introduce to some and present to others Sister Betty Barkley from Sand Hill Church of Christ, who's going to speak on the topic, Dress for Success, the proper attire to work for God's company, both spiritually and physically.
Okay. First, I'd like to, let's go to God in prayer. We come to you, Father, this morning, thanking you for allowing us to arrive here safe and sound. Thank you for allowing all the sisters together here. And Lord, we ask that whatever is said or done today is something, is all to glorify your name. Lord, thank you for all your many blessings. Thank you, Lord, for just allowing us to see your beautiful and wonderful day. This we ask in your precious and loving name. Amen. First, I don't know how many of y'all have heard me speak, but I always say, you got to say, good morning, Sister Barkley.
Good morning, Sister Barkley.
One more time.
Good morning, Sister Barkley.
That's great. I would like to thank each and every one that's here, and I know that you could have been elsewhere this morning, but you decided to come here. Yeah, you can, but and I thank you very much. As Dana said, we have had a lot of conversation. I've enjoyed talking to Dana. She's such a smart and a beautiful girl. The night that she called, I think, it was 2 hours. Whenever she called, I tried to wait until she'd go to bed so I wouldn't have to talk to her. I leave a message on her because I don't have that time to talk to her. Just joking. But when she asked me to speak, it was just an honor. It was just an honor. And anytime someone asks me to do anything, regarding the Lord, and I think you ladies should be too. You should be honored. Because we don't get that opportunity to tell others about this man called Jesus. And when you get that opportunity, take it. So I do thank Folk Street for inviting me. It just really is a privilege. And I look out in the audience and I see all my sisters. I tell you, I'm so nervous. If y'all see water running down here, it's just sweat. It's just the sisters here, and it's some strong, grounded, and rooted sisters. To stand before you all, it's just truly an honor. I just can't even begin to say how it makes me feel. It just makes me feel so good. And with this title this morning, Dressing for Success with the Proper Attire to Work in God's Company, Both Physical and Spiritual. And the skit was just so perfect. I think, you know what they say, great minds work like you can't, you know. You can't study the Bible and don't repeat because the Bible never changes. And when you study, it's going to be the same thing. If you studied in 2090, 2000, whatever, God's Word is never going to change. So it just, the skit was so perfect, Dana. And she asked me, she says, Sister Barkley, do you need any tools or special tools? I said, no, Dana, I need some cool, I need some light, and I need some people. I don't need all these tools. And she says, well, you got 20 minutes, but you gave me how many minutes if I didn't use the tools? But anyway, I don't want to take too much of your time, and I know we all got things to do, so I think I'm going to get started. But yeah, just say, speaking of dressing for success with the proper attire to work in God's company, both physical and spiritual. And I'd like to start first with our physical attire. Now, it would be very easy for me as an older woman to stand here and tell you what you shouldn't and should not wear. No halter to top, split up back, things too low. Yeah, that's simple. I've been told that basically ever since I've been a Christian, that what I shouldn't wear. And I know I can't wear them, but I did it anyway. And I know you all have too. But today, I'm going to do a little different thing. don't we go back to the time when we didn't have to have clothes to work in God's company? He already had prepared. He already fixed it up, so we didn't have to wear. So if we want to start, let's start in Genesis 1:1-31. I'm not going to read it. I'm just going to go through. If you want to go through and skim through, because the time don't allow me to read all the scripture. It said God had created just the way he wanted it, to be. He didn't have anyone where he was doing it on his own. Then in 2:7-8, he said he wants someone to work in his garden, so he formed men. And the Lord planted a garden east of Eden, and there he put the man he had formed. Now, you guys remember in Genesis 1:1-31, God was creating all that he needed. He was doing all of this work by himself, but he decided he needed man. So he formed this man, he put him here. And 2:15-18, God put man to work in his company to keep it. And there Adam worked in God's company, and he was naming all the things that God had created. Now remember this, no clothes have been mentioned, even though Adam is working in God's company. Now God commanded man, say, every tree of the garden you may eat freely, but not the tree of knowledge of good and evil, or you surely die. Then he goes to 2:20-23. Then God realized Adam was lonely, so God made woman. Still, no clothes is mentioned. Matter of fact, if you go on down to 2:25, it says they both were naked, the man and woman, and they were not ashamed. There's no clothes have been mentioned. Then, sisters, the fall of man became in chapter 3:1-7. When Eve decided to make conversation with Satan. Now, we know that some of us are very friendly, and we will speak and talk to anyone. We will laugh. We will talk to everyone. And Eve was one of these people that did that. Okay? Here's Miss Eve. She decided to talk to him. And this, as the serpent said, now you got to remember, the serpent was the most craftiest thing that God had created. He was the most, I would say, the one that would more like to do wrong things, evil things of the field. And he said to this woman in 3:2, God said, you should not eat of every tree of the garden. But she said, he said, we may eat of the fruit of the tree of the garden, but the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God said, you should not eat, or either should you touch it, unless you should die. Then 3 and 4, he says, well, you wouldn't surely die. So Eve believed in, and not what God said, and what he had commanded her, she ate from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And both her and Adam's eyes was open. They realized they were naked, not God. What did they do? They sewed fig leaves together. Now think about this, sister. Fig leaves, two big bodies. Have you seen the size of fig leaves? Do you think they could cover their body with fig leaves? No, even then, they couldn't do a good job of covering up. How many of you think that they cover their whole body from here, their legs, everything? Do you think they had that many fig leaves? I'm not saying I don't know how many fig leaves they have, but you think they covered everything? What do you think they were ashamed of? What part of the body? I'm thinking, now this is my opinion, it's the front and the back. What about the rest of it? And that's kind of sort of what we do today. We just cover this part and the rest hangs out. Because if you think about it, even then, we didn't do a good job. And and we're still not doing a good job. Even though we know better, we're still not doing a good job. Okay. Right there, like I say, it shows that both were not, they made an apron. They said they made an apron. And then you go on to 3:8-13, and now they heard the voice of God. Now, here they're in the garden. Now, just imagine this. You're out in the garden, walking for the evening, the sun going down. This is the cool of the day. And they hear the voice of God. And they try to hide. Right there, it shows that neither one of them are very smart, because we can't hide from God. You know, just as we think today that we can do certain things to hide from God, whatever we do, long as Sister Barkley doesn't see it, or some of the ladies here doesn't see it, well, that's okay. You know, I'm all right. That's not, you cannot hide from God. In Proverbs 5:3, the eyes of the Lord is every place. Behold the evil and the good. Hebrews 4:13 said, there is no creature hidden from the light, but there's no creation here from the light, but all things are open and laid bare to the eyes of him who we have to do. Also in Psalms 39:11-12, there never had been a midnight too dark for God to see, nor a stone wall thick enough to obstruct his vision. Sister, we cannot hide from God. 3:9, God called out to Adam. He said to them, where are you? Now listen. If you can't hide from God, what do you think he's trying to tell? Is he trying to be facetious? Where are you? He knew where they were. Mm-hmm. And he's, Adam said, we were afraid because I was naked. God said, who told you you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree that I command you not to eat? Adam said, it was that woman you gave me, Lord. God asked the woman, what have you done? She said to the serpent, deceived me. And from that point on, it was down here due to disobedience. We read 3:21. God was so displeased with their disobedience, he decided, not man, that we must cover up. And of all the time that I've studied God's word, sisters, I'm going to have to be honest with you. I never looked at 3:21. 3:21 tells us God made the decision to cover us up. He made a coat of animal skin to cover both of them. Now, if we know the definition of a coat, what does it do? It covers up. It covers your arms and most of the time your legs. So that's the definition of a coat. So God wanted us to cover up. It hasn't always been that way. We were disobedient and God was so displeased with us, he covered us up. And he gave us choices. He always gives us choices. And we have to cover up. But have you ever wondered if we had to walk around all the time with a coat? We cover our arms and legs up all the time, especially when we have our hot flashes. Could you imagine what it'd be? You know, I said, thank God for Brother Paul. He gave us a little leeway. In 1 Timothy 2:9 through 10, he says we should dress modest and appropriate, sensible and seemingly apparent. We all know who Paul and Timothy was speaking at the time, but it also applies to us today. So, sister, just to let you know, it has not always been that we should wear clothes. But just imagine if we can walk around freely without worrying about putting on a slip, stocking, a bra, dress. Just imagine if all of us sitting in this auditorium today were freely to sit here without clothes. Think about it. Now, hey, come back. Bring you up just for a second. Just for a second. Don't go. I know what you're thinking, and I know some of our imagination can run wild. But just imagine the freedom that we would have. You know, the God that we serve is so good. He just gives us choices, and it's all good. But you know what? We always pick the wrong one because it's not what we want. But he gives us a choice. But just to save time, let's go. But now think about it. Therefore, we're in society now. The society has set our dress code. Whether we like it or not, we are judged by our appearances. Why? Because our clothes represent who we are. Well, you say, what do you mean? You know, example, how many times have you heard a saying, you cannot judge a book by its cover? You're so wrong. You're so wrong. Most of the time, if we want to be honest with ourselves, everything that we pick is basically judged on the outside. Every once in a while, we'll open that book to find out what book. That's a beautiful book with a beautiful picture, the beautiful cover. I'm going to pick it. Then I'm sorry I got it because inside it, it's not what I expected. But we judge by the outside appearances. Suitable dressing and appearance of Christian in the Lord's church are only an outward sign for the inward grace. What do you mean? If Sister Barclay come walking in here on a Sunday, just say a Sunday, Wednesday, any time the church doors open, I'm in the presence of my sisters and brothers, and I'm walking here with a swimsuit on or a mini dress up, what do you think I'm thinking? Do you think I'm coming to worship? I think I'm lost my mind. So whatever appearances I have is what is inside me. You know, it is what I'm thinking. Because if I got a good mind, I'm not going to come out looking like that. You know, so okay, we must present Christ in all that we do in word or deed. Do it in the name of the Lord, Colossians 3:17. We have a responsibility to consider the ways our reputation reflects the church in our Lord. Question, who is the church? We are. So when the world see us, who do they see? Of Christ. How do you want to represent the church of Christ? As Christian, do we allow the world to set our standard of dress and behavior? How do we distinguish ourselves from the world? When we go tell the world about this man called Jesus, do we stand out or do we blend in? Do we wear the same identity marks as the world does? What marks do you use? What marks do the world see? Can you say like Peter in Galatians 6:17, the type of marks that he bare because of Christ, the scars, the marks that was put on him because he was persecuted? Do you have these scars or do you have the scars of the world? Do you have the tattoos? Do you have the holes and things and places that God didn't put there? What type of marks do you have? How do you stand out as a child of God? You know, in 1 Peter 3:3 tell us beauty should come from the outward appearance, as we know. And I have yet to see anywhere in the Bible that we should not smell good, enhance what God has given us. But you know, I think sometimes we forget who we are. And Matthew 5:13-14 tells us we are the salt of the earth, the light of the world. And 1 Peter 2:9-10 tells we are royal priesthood, holy nation, and peculiar people, that you shall show forth the praises of him who has called you out of darkness into the marvelous light, which is time past. We were not people, but we are now people of God, and have not, and we have not obtained mercy, but now we have obtained mercy. We are a child of God. Sisters, there's a price and a privilege to be identified as a child of God. There are times you hear people say, this is my body, I can do anything I want, it's no one's business. You are so wrong. So wrong. We don't own anything. Everything that we have is borrowed. And 1 Corinthians 6, 19 to 20 tells us Christ paid a price for us. It belongs to Him. When we became a Christian, the Holy Spirit filled us and He lives in us. And because it belongs to Him, we must not violate it. He's going to come back and He wanted the same way He gave it. Our Lord and Savior knows it's not easy for us being in this world because His only Son walked this earth and Satan tried to tempt Him. So what do you think He will do to us? You know, when we hear how He tried to tempt Jesus, He tells us to hold on and trust Him, and He will not leave us nor forsake us. All we have to do is just hang in there. Hold on. This is unchanging Him. You know, God has a perfect plan for His children. He wants us to be transformed people with renewed mind. He wants us to know He knows what's best for us. All we have to do is stand still and wait on, learn to wait on the Lord. And as you know, as Christians, we are called out not to be conformed any longer to the pattern of this world, with its behavior, its customs, which is usually selfish, often corrupted. But we know by just refusing the world's value goes deeper than that. Than behaviors in the custom. We must plant God's word firmly in our mind by renewing it in Romans 12, 1 through 2. You can read that at own time. I don't have the time to read all of them, but I'm just giving you the scripture. And some say, well, I'm not in the world. True. You're not in the world. But we must ask that we can avoid most worldly customs and still be a proud, covetous, selfish, stubborn, and an ignorant person. We know these that live the life of the flesh catered to the appetite and the impulses of their carnal nature. We cannot please God and will not be accepted by Him. Romans 8, 5 through 8. How do you become transformed? Only when the Holy Spirit renews, re-educate, redirect our mind is when we truly become transformed. There are two groups of people. There are us who let ourselves be controlled by the sinful nature. Number two, and those who follow the Holy Spirit. You know, we all were once in that first category. But if Jesus had not offered us a way out, and because we have said yes to Jesus, we must continue to follow Him. Because His way brings life and peace, we must choose and center our life on God's way. We face a powerful army whose goal is to defeat Christ's church and His will. When we in the will of God, we will have many enemies, and they will do everything possible to defeat us. Satan is constantly battling against all that's on the Lord's side. He is planning for us just as God does. He wants us to doubt God's word, question the word and His goodness, just like Adam and Eve. He wants to be discouraged, make us look at our decision rather than at God. He is deceitful, make the wrong things seem attractive so you and I will want him even more. He wants to feel defeated, make us feel like a failure because we are different. Delay by putting off doing what's right in the sight of the Lord. Though God, who has provided us by giving us his only Son, Jesus Christ, in John 3:16, Christ has a plan for us also. He told us we cannot guess what God's word is. We must know God's word. We must put on the whole armor of God. Not just the shoes. The whole armor of God. We must depend on his strength and use every piece that covers the body to fight against Satan. You say, why? We must remember our struggle is not against flesh and blood. We cannot close our eyes and pretend it's not there and say, okay, it'll go away. Mm-mm, sisters. We are fighting against rulers, against the power, against the world forces of the darkness, against the spirit forces, weakness in a heavenly place. Therefore, we must put on the whole armor of God so we'll be able to stand against whatever come our way. And the day will come, if God allow you to live, those days will come and you will have to do battle. But you're going to have the right ammunition. You're going to have the right stuff. It's a sister gave me, I went to a ladies' day, and she gave me a bullet. And in this bullet, she says, we only have one chance in life, and you have to take it. And when you take what I'm saying, you take it, you got to know God's word, and you have to stand always for God's word, no matter what happens, because he will always be at your side. Even all your sisters, all your brothers, everybody will leave you. God will always be there. So always stand for him. There are some things that God has told us we can do. There are stories that said we put on the whole armor of God. And the first one is the belt of truth. Because Satan fight with lies, and sometimes his lies sound so truthful. We got to know only God's word is truth, and we can defeat Satan. Knowing this, stand and speak boldly, even you must stand alone. The second, the breastplate of righteousness. Satan often attacked our heart, the seat of our emotion, self-worth, and trust. God's righteousness is the breastplate that protects our heart, and he approves of us because he loves us. He sent his only Son to die for us, John 3:16. Third one, our foot gear. Readiness to spread the good news. Satan wants us to think that telling others the good news is worthless, hopeless, task of its size is too big, and the negative response are too much to handle. But God's foot gear give us motivation to continue to proclaim the truth, peace that available in God news that everyone needs to hear. You got to remember too, how did you feel when someone told you the good news? You cannot allow Satan to steal your joy. He didn't give it to you, so sister, don't allow him to take it away. Amen. The shield of faith. What we see Satan attack is a form of insults, setbacks, and temptation. The shield protects us from Satan's flaming arrows. God's word is more powerful than Satan. Nothing can penetrate you. Just hold it up. Just stand for what it means. And watch how the arrows bounced off. How he protects you. How you are standing there and all these things are happening to your life. And you still can walk around with smiles on your face because you know God got you. Everybody else is against you, but God got you. Just hold on. Just hold on. The helmet of salvation. Satan wants us to doubt God's word, Jesus, and our salvation. The helmet protects our mind from doubting God. We must not doubt God. Matthew 21:21, Jesus said, "Very, very, I say unto you, if you have faith and doubt not, you should not only do this which is done to the fig leaf, but also you should say unto the mountain, thou shalt be removed and cast into the sea, it should be done." Just hold on. God is always there. The sword of spirit, the word of God. The word is the only weapon of defense, a list of armor. There are times we need to take defense against Satan when we are tempted. We need to trust in the truth of God's word, meaning we must see God's word and mean it in its meaning and believe it. A lot of time we look at it, we read it, okay, it's God's word, but we don't believe it. We truly do not believe it. We have to look at God's word and believe when we read it that who's saying this. This is a powerful, this is all that we have. We have nothing else but God. And you have to believe his word. And when God said something, God didn't lie. We do not serve a God that lies. So sister, just hold on to God's unchanging, and no matter what going on, just hold on to his hand. And okay, the final one. Always keep prayer in your heart. Daily communication and realizing the presence of God. You must realize that God is with us even though we can't see him, but we can see all his goodness around us. You know, we can pray anywhere. I don't care where it is, anytime, anywhere. Let's think about it. Jonas, where was he? He was in the belly of the whale, and he prayed, and what did God answer his prayer? So anytime we feel like praying, pray. Always pray to God. He will answer you. He's never too busy. It's never too late. He's never too tired, and is never too early. You can pray to God anytime. In Hebrew 4:12 tells us God's word reveals who we are and what we are. It penetrates the core of our moral and spiritual life. We must not only listen to God's word, we must also let it shape our life. When you read Romans 8:38-39, Paul tells us even though there are evil powers that will come into our life while we're on this earth, but in Christ we are super covered, and his love will protect us by any such force. When you get a chance, read Romans 8:38-39. It's really can kick in God's word. And as Christian, our life wardrobe must be just as Paul urges the people of Ephesus to be alert. After all you have done, put on the whole armor of God. And then you turn around and get sidetracked. We get lazy. We get complacent. Because we said, well, it's okay, it's all right. No, Satan never rests. He is constantly going about seeking those who he can devour. Satan wants us to just give up. Satan does not want us to be or not to do the will of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now, in conclusion, in knowing this, we must live our life, our spiritually and physical life, as this is our last moment, our last day. I don't know how many of you all know Sister Jean Smith. They had her funeral today. She was a friend of mine, a very close friend. And in the last 3 years, I've had two people in my life to be here this moment and gone the next. And it made me realize that I always knew that there's no time, there's no age, there's no color. There's no clock that says I'm going to be here tomorrow or next year or 20 years. But I think more now that I've seen it, God has shown to me that it's every day that He allow us to get up and open our eyes. Thank Him for that moment, because you don't know what the next one's going to bring. The last thing my sister said to me was, "Sister Barkley, I got your back. I'm going to be at your latest day." And the next thing I heard, she was gone. The same as my husband. Talking at 11:30 and 11:45, he's gone. Sisters, if I never, ever can impress anything upon you, every moment that Jesus, our Lord and Savior, gives you, take it. Take it, because it's precious. There's, you cannot, you have no limits, you have no time, you don't even know when it's going to happen. Every moment of your life is precious. Make the best of it. Make the best of it. Make it your mission that you should be serving God. And ever, whoever come in contact with you will see God in you. So, you know, then you can say, I did what I'm supposed to do. But just take every moment that God has given you, treasure it. And even the people around you, love them. It's something, a couple of weeks I went to a surprise birthday party. And this woman was 75 years old. She impressed me so. She looked around, and she didn't know we was going to have a surprise birthday party. And she said something like, "Everybody here, I love." She didn't know them, but she loved them. Tell them you love them. Because that's one thing we owe everybody on this earth, is our love. So, sister, if you remember me, just remember that God says, we must take every moment, every second, every year, treasure it. I don't care what it is, just treasure it. Because, you know, we don't have this chance but once in a lifetime. You can't, once you're gone, you can't come back. So, as my friend said, got this one bullet. And this is the only bullet you're going to have. So use it. And use it well. Thank you.